this is my weekly podcast, Adventures with Postpartum Depression, a show dedicated to sharing stories and spreading awareness about maternal mood disorders. For show notes and more information, please go to my website, ppdadventures.com. There's also a Facebook page, facebook.com/ppdadventures. And now, on to the show. Hello, adventurers. This is episode 69, which is sort of a bonus episode because I normally just release one episode a week and at most. And we all know I've taken lengthy hiatuses at various times just because, hey, mom life. But my goal is one episode a week. But this is going to be a bonus episode because I thought I just had some ideas sort of crowding into my head about Mother's Day. And I wanted to, you know, bear with me, just ramble on, get some thoughts out about Mother's Day, and maybe help a few of you. Because Mother's Day is coming in the United States this Sunday. I'm recording this on Tuesday, May 8th. I'll probably release this like May 10th-ish, just so that you don't feel, I don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed by like, you know, episodes just showing up in your feed too fast. But I'll release this like on Thursday. And Mother's Day will be Sunday. And, you know, Mother's Day, it should just be easy. Like, you know, you get some flowers, you get a card, maybe have some brunch, bada bing, bada boom, good feelings all around. But it's not always that simple. I was thinking back to my first Mother's Day, my very first when I was a mom. And I didn't have one of those pregnant Mother's Days because I got pregnant in July and gave birth in March. So my first Mother's Day, Pippa was, oh my gosh, not even 2 months old. And just even starting talking about it, I've got some feelings coming up. Got some, you know, like that little rush going through the chest and head. So clearly I've got something I need to get off my chest. Literally. You know, funny how those feelings like literally kind of can come off your chest or come off your head. So my first Mother's Day, I had no idea that I had postpartum depression, anxiety, and OCD. But I most certainly was just fully in the darkness. It was not as bad as things were going to get. For those of you who've heard my story or read my book, things got really ugly the last 5 weeks before I got help. So from about the time Pippa was 3 months old until she was about 4 and change, those 5 weeks were really, really dark. And that's when I started having intrusive thoughts of throwing Pippa and intrusive thoughts of hurting myself and daydreaming about if only the doctors could put me in a coma and just let me sleep until they figure out what's wrong with me. So, and that was like 5 weeks of insomnia and just utter despair. And that's when my OCD really kind of hit. Like I was checking locks, and I cannot tell you when I started checking the doors or when I started checking that Pippa was breathing. I know it wasn't like my first day home from the hospital, but I also know it didn't start at like 4 months. It like started probably around the time of my first Mother's Day. But I wasn't at that point so far along where, like, because it started with checking locks, and then I was looking under the beds and checking closets, and eventually I was checking like inside the washing machine in case someone was, I thought like someone may seriously be hiding in the washing machine until I go to bed, and I have to find them before I go to bed, or like just into my mind, all is lost, you know, life is over. But Mother's Day, you know, I think I already had insomnia, but I was breastfeeding. And at that point I was breastfeeding Pippa exclusively. I was very against formula. Now, and spoiler alert, I'm not against formula. Those of you who've been listening a while know that Julian never got a drop of my breast milk. They were asking me at the hospital when he was born, like, don't you want him to just get a little colostrum? And I'm like, nope, these boobies are empty. They're not going to fill for a week. Just give him the bottle and it's all over. And it was great. And he's healthy and wonderful and joyful and just smart and vibrant and curious and conquering the world and all with formula. Formula is fine. But at that time of my first Mother's Day, I really thought breast is best, formula is evil. And I was still beating myself up about the fact that Pippa had jaundice when she was born and that we needed to supplement with formula and that I had ruined the biodome in her stomach and her precious lining, and she was doomed to a fate of obesity and lower intelligence. And like, I really, this is what went through my head. And so I was at my first Mother's Day. We had gotten her, she was, you know, had clear jaundice for a while. She was off the formula, and she was being exclusively breastfed. And I had tried pumping, but pumping just sucked. I produced very little milk when I did pump, and but getting to the time to pump felt like a logistical nightmare because Pippa would fall asleep in my arms, and she really didn't like being put down to sleep. And at the time, I thought I was failing, that I couldn't get my daughter to nap somewhere other than in my arms. But, you know, now that I've been doing this mom thing for a while and exchanging stories and doing the podcast and just talking to moms who I meet, it's pretty common. There's Julian was this, like, blessed, easy sleeper. He didn't want to sleep in my arms. He would, like, kind of, like shrug his way out of my arms when he was, like, 4 days old. Like, woman, put me down. And Pippa was the opposite. And just babies are people. And just like people, they're all very different. Some people like sushi and some do not. You know, some babies are going to sleep in your arms and some are not. So Mother's Day comes along. I'm breastfeeding exclusively. Pippa's still getting up at least once, if not two times a night. So I'm doing all those feedings. I'm sleep deprived. I probably have insomnia because I can't get back to sleep immediately quickly. Like, it's the middle of the night. I do and she's slow feeder. So, and I was really scared of all of the rules and the propaganda against co-sleeping. And so there was no dream feeding. I got up. I went to a chair, I sat in the chair with her in my arms, and I watched Frasier reruns on TV because I was convinced that if I fell asleep or dozed off that, you know, I'd drop her or I'd crush her and I'd kill her somehow. So I wasn't getting enough sleep. I had the beginnings of insomnia because I would go back to bed after these long feedings and I would struggle to get back to sleep. And my brain would just be going, like, she's going to wake up in, you know, 3 more hours. If I get back to sleep now, I could get a full cycle. And then, like, 30 minutes would pass, and it would be like, wait, if I get to sleep now, I won't get the full 3 hours, but at least I can get 2.5. So I had insomnia then. I talk about it as having 5 weeks of insomnia because that's when she was sleeping through the night and sleeping 10 hours straight, and I was still only getting 3 hours of sleep. But realistically, I had insomnia pretty much from, I'd say, day one. This is the weird thing, is I've written a whole memoir about postpartum depression. I'm done. I've published it. The book is, you know, it's in the world. And yet I could keep revising this fucker until the day I die, because the more I talk to you ladies out there and the more I think about my own experiences, the more, you know, writing the book, it was like, okay, it made sense to talk about in the book 5 weeks of insomnia. But the more I talk about my experiences, the more healing I do and just realize, man, that insomnia started really from the beginning because I struggled with naps and I struggled with getting back to sleep after the baby was done breastfeeding. So first Mother's Day comes along, I'm exhausted. I'm exclusively breastfeeding. I'm not having suicidal thoughts yet or intrusive thoughts, but I'm fully in the darkness of postpartum depression, anxiety, and I've got some OCD going on. And my mom decides to host Mother's Day at her house. And she tells me, this is going to be easier for you because you don't have to have people come to you. Now, I have done so much growing up since I had postpartum depression. It's not even growing up. It's just like I've kept growing and I understand my needs. And I now could get and look back and see, like, so we drove out there and it took over an hour because there was just all this Mother's Day traffic. And I was sitting in the back seat of the car and I was sitting there next to Pippa as if I could do something, like, just like totally on edge, like all the nerves firing. Because, like, what if she cries? What if she gets hungry? You know, I breastfeed right before we go. And then the drive back felt equally hellish because, like, I fed her and it's like, okay, it's time to go. And it felt like, you know, you can hear the alarm going, like the ticking, the countdown. Like, we got to get home before she cries. It was just, like, I now get babies cry. Toddlers cry. 5-year-olds sometimes cry. And it doesn't bug me to the degree that it bugged me when I had postpartum depression. I know that mothers, they've done all these studies, and mothers hear the cries more loudly than dads. And we're just biologically primed to be responsive to our child crying. But, you know, when you know your child is fine, and they're just a little bored with being in a car seat, or they're just maybe like a smidge hungry, and they're like an hour away from full-blown hunger, and they just feel like blowing off some steam and crying, that's okay. And my postpartum experience with crying with Julian was completely different than it was with Pippa. Because with Pippa, any amount of crying felt like alarms going off for the end of the world. So the ride out, so my mom was doing what she thought was best, like come over here and hang out at our house and it'll be a lovely Mother's Day. But I just remember feeling very disconnected from everyone, very on edge, waiting for, you know, the other shoe to drop, waiting for Pippa to cry in the car ride, thinking that Nathan hated me for going to my parents' house on Mother's Day. I mean, it's Mother's Day. It's my first Mother's Day. And he gave me such a thoughtful gift. He got me this, before we went, like the month before I got pregnant with Pippa, we went to Santa Fe. And we visited all these galleries, and we found this artist at a gallery, and we both really liked her paintings, and she painted flowers. And we didn't buy one then, and we kept talking about it afterwards. And so he knew that I liked the artist, and so he told me, instead of buying you flowers for your first Mother's Day that are just going to wilt and die, I want to give you a painting by, I think her name's Isabelle Dupuy, and you pick it out because, you know, it's going to hang on the wall, and I want you to like it. And we still have it. It's in the kitchen. I see it every day. I smile when I see it, and I love it. It was, like, such a wonderful, thoughtful gift. It didn't change the fact that I had postpartum depression and anxiety, and that my hormones were just going blah, 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 in all sorts of crazy directions. So I think, can you guys hear the car beeping down the street? There is, I'm at my parents' house, which I try to avoid now, but I've got two kids home with the babysitter today. Pippa is had a fever since last Thursday, so she's on day 5, but is that otherwise in perfectly good health. Like, if you did not touch her forehead and see that she had 102, 103 degree fever, you'd think, oh my God, she's fine. She's healthy. She's happy. She's eating, like totally eating everything. She's not complaining. She did drop off and take like a half hour nap yesterday. It's a cement mixer, by the way, going by. Does anyone else get like a real thrill these days from seeing like a fire engine or a cement mixer? I love how our children change us because like Julian is so excited when he sees a bus, especially a school bus. He's like, bus, bus. Oh my God, how long is this cement mixer going to like, it's doing the reverse down my parents' block, so it's beeping as it goes. Ugh. Okay, I'm sure you can't hear it. It's just annoying to me. But I love how I see these things and I'm generally primed to feel a surge of joy even if my children aren't around because I know they love these cement mixers and fire engines and buses so much. Okay, so where was I? Some of you are coming up on your first Mother's Day or your second. Or even like your 10th, I don't know. And you have postpartum depression or anxiety or you're dealing with, you know, bipolar onset. I mean, there's also, or you could be pregnant with child number 2 and dealing with some antenatal depression, pregnancy depression. It's okay to have these feelings and have a shitty Mother's Day. It's not your fault. There's a lot of expectations that get built in to Mother's Day. And I feel like, you know, there's all this stuff on social media where you go on Google and you just Google motherhood and there's all these like pictures of like angelic moms with like radiant lighting and they're usually blonde and they're, you know, they just look like I am so excited about my life and my perfectly styled home and my clean, well-dressed children who had just got a haircut yesterday and earthy hair is in place. And Mother's Day, I think, brings that all out. I mean, with the greeting cards, nothing, you know, I should go look at the greeting cards and see what's going on at Target. Like, what are they pushing? But, you know, it's never, you know, it's never like the card that you want. Like, you know, thank you for cleaning up the shit off the wall. Thank you for getting down on the floor with a Q-tip and getting puke out of the floorboard cracks. We don't get those thank yous. And so I think there's this expectation that you're supposed to have like a wonderful day and you're supposed to feel so blessed and your children are supposed to cooperate and be angels. And like, I think children can be assholes, and I say that jokingly, but they're not adults yet. And if you're a full-grown, full-ass-grown woman, and your 28-year-old child decides to come and just, like, be a total, like, bitch face to you on Mother's Day, like, that's a problem. Like, she needs, like, to, like, sort through some shit. But if your 2-year-old, your 5-year-old, like, even, like, as they get older, they don't necessarily get that they're being difficult when they start pounding on the door when you're just trying to have a peaceful bowel movement. They don't get that they're being difficult when they like flip out because you're out of raisins. They don't get that yet. They're not there cognitively. So, you know, it's supposed to be Mother's Day, and I often feel like Mother's Day comes with this obligation to spend time with your family, when for me, the only thing that really charges me up is like, let me get away. So let me look at my notes. I was writing some notes during my morning walk. Let me just say that you need to do you. Like, what works for you for Mother's Day is not necessarily what works for your best friend. It's not necessarily what works for your mom or worked for your mom when you were little. It's not necessarily what you're going to see on commercials on TV or, you know, in the posters at Target or wherever you're shopping. You got to do you. Only you know you. And, you know, it's okay to take the pressure off yourself to have an amazing day. I personally, you know, I'm having a weird Mother's Day because Nathan's going out of town. And he's not going out of town for work. He's going to Las Vegas with his best friend for a man getaway. And people hear that and they look at me and they're appalled. And then it's like, I have to roll my eyes and I have to like justify our entire lives. Because it's like, well, you know, every time, like we're very even. Like I just went, he went to Las Vegas last August for 3 days. For three nights, I finally, 2 weeks ago, took a trip to Manhattan to visit, to have some like girl time with my sister and to visit my grandma in Queens. And we had a great time. And as soon as I got my trip scheduled, Nathan was, you know, he's just drained from work and he needs like to get away and recharge. He is as human as I am. Our men need to get away and recharge just as much as we need to get away and recharge. And so as soon as I had my Manhattan trip booked, yeah, damn right, he turned around and he got, you know, planning with his best friend, when are we going to go to Vegas? And that was the weekend that worked. And yes, it's Mother's Day, but I just was away 2 weeks ago and now I'm getting like a credit. Like it's now my turn to take a trip. And so it's like I'm playing the long game here. And here's the thing. Nathan's a great husband and he's very supportive. He gives me Mother's Day pretty much every weekend. You know, when there's some downtime, he turns to me and says, why don't you get out of here for a few hours? Why don't you go do some writing? Why don't you go get a pedicure? Like, he knows that I need time to get away. I have a babysitter Tuesdays and Thursdays with Julian, and Nathan does not begrudge me that, and he does not think that's enough. He still is like, you know, if it's like a night and I want to go away, like go see friends, do book club, or if it's the weekend and I want to go out, he's like, yes, do that. And he's going to Vegas, but he comes back Monday and he's taking the day off work. And I'm going to go out Monday afternoon. I'm going to see the new Avengers movie and eat popcorn and just, you know, have like my own recharge. And Saturday, my dad is helping out and watching Julian. So me and Pippa can go to a mother-daughter jewelry party that one of my friends is throwing. So it's not like the weekend is being totally overlooked. And Nathan, I will totally, like, I mean, this past weekend, I went and got a massage and went off and wrote and got a pedicure. I did a massage and a pedicure and called it, like, pre-Mother's Day. I'm totally going away again at some point in May and taking a half or full spa day and calling it Mother's Day Part 2. So for me, Mother's Day, I don't need Mother's Day because I get honored by my husband throughout the year. And that's what I want for you. I hope that you don't actually need Mother's Day to feel honored and respected and to feel like that you've been put on a pedestal, because you should not be put on a pedestal one lousy day a year. It's not enough. Mother's Day? No. Like it's like, you know, there's a whole fucking Christmas season. So there should be at least Mother's season, you know, the whole month of May. But like, that's not even enough. You need it. Self-care. You need it all year long. So I think some moms go into Mother's Day thinking this is going to be like the reward for the other 364 days. And that's just, it's just not enough, like, to keep your batteries charged. You know, I forget what book it is. I'll put it in the show notes. I think it's called How to Live a Good Life. And he talks about your wellness and your self-care as buckets, and you have like, and he divides it into, I'm looking it up now, How to Live a Good Life, I think it's called. Yes, How to Live a Good Life. No, my goodness. It's called How to Live a Good Life, and Amazon is being an asshole. How to Live a Good Life by Jonathan Fields. And it's, he talks about like there's different areas of your life and you have different buckets and they're constantly being depleted, you know, water sloshing out, evaporation. And I think if you have little children, and maybe this goes for having old children, but certainly when you have little children, which is all I know, they come over and they just kick the whole fucking bucket over. Or they come and they like drill holes all over your bucket so water is constantly pouring out. So you have to be constantly taking care of yourself. So I get a little annoyed at the idea of Mother's Day because one day is not enough to feel your best. And it puts this false pressure on having an amazing day without any regard for what else is happening in your life. And what else is happening in your life may very well be depression, anxiety, OCD, a maternal mood disorder. In which case, I'm giving you all a permission slip to feel shitty on Mother's Day. You're allowed that. If you are feeling shitty because you have a mood disorder, it is okay to feel shitty on Mother's Day. I would like you to get help. I'd like you to have a support team in place, but I realize that we all have our own journeys. And for me, my journey to getting to this place where I'm feeling better than I have in my entire life, that included having a shit lousy first Mother's Day. And then I think the next year, I was like, I can't do the traffic again that we had. I had like residual stress left over from the year before. And I can look back now from 5 years perspective and see like I was still processing feelings from postpartum depression. So the idea of being in traffic, a traffic jam on Mother's Day was just unappealing. And I just was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I made my parents come to Pasadena. This year, you know, Nathan's going to be out of town. We haven't even decided what we're doing. And I'm perfectly happy to take the kids, drive over to my parents' house on the other side of LA County. Like, that's fine. And, you know, I don't even know what we're going to do, but I'm 5 years out and they're older and we could talk and we could listen to music. So it's just different. You know, it's, you don't have to like come up with a formula for Mother's Day and be like, this is what's going to happen every year. Now, if you come up with the formula that every Mother's Day comes, you get to take a spa day, that's great. But, you know, the spas are a little more crowded on Mother's Day because there are a lot of moms who get a spa day. So there's nothing wrong with taking the week after or like, you know, a weekend that works. If you've got stuff shit going on, don't put all this pressure on yourself. It's a lot of rambling for me, but I just wanted to make you feel okay that, you know, it's okay to feel crappy on Mother's Day. If you do feel crappy though, first off, I'm sorry for that because you do deserve a good day. But, you know, sometimes bad days happen. But I would like you first to vent to someone, and that someone can be your journal. I love journaling. But that someone could also be a friend, or you could just like get in the car and go on a ride and talk, because sometimes talking things through, if you're not a writer, talking it through can help. And then after you get the, you know, you don't have to wallow in it and be like, I am entitled to be pissed off at the world for the next 16 years because I had a bad Mother's Day. No. Vent, get those feelings out, and then get curious. Like, so why did you have a bad Mother's Day? If you have a bad Mother's Day this year, think about it. Like, what was it? And I can't list through all the reasons that you might have a bad Mother's Day. But I want to say, don't play the comparison game. Don't feel like you have to have a good Mother's Day because you're a mom and you have children and you know someone who is struggling with infertility. That's her life. This is your life. Don't play the comparison game. If you have, so you're allowed to have a shitty day. Even though there are people who have infertility and would kill to be in your situation, it's okay. You could, like, that's their life. Let them have their life. But this is your life and you're allowed to feel shitty. Maybe you're going to have a bad Mother's Day because you and your mom have some issues you need to work out. You don't have to dismiss those feelings just because one of your friends does not have a mom. You know, your friend is allowed to have a tough Mother's Day if she's lost her mom. Those of you who have lost your moms, like, it's okay to have a tough Mother's Day. It's okay to mourn that they're not there for you anymore. But for those of us who do have, I'm not actually, I don't have any active ongoing issues with my mom right now. We've done really well working through them. But if we did have issues, we'd be entitled to have those issues, even though there are plenty of people who are adults who have lost their moms or children who have lost their moms. Like, our lives are our lives, and we don't need to play the comparison game. So don't start comparing, you know, stay off social media if you have to, because people are going to be posting photos from brunch, and everyone's looking really fancy, and you don't get to see the behind the scenes, like how they had a reservation for 10 and didn't get seated till 11:30. You don't see the tantrum. You know, no one posts photos of their child throwing a tantrum on Mother's Day. They don't post, like, you know, all the crap that goes on to in order to get that one cute picture for Instagram. You don't know how it's been cropped. You don't know. You just don't know. So if you're feeling at all sensitive or tender about Mother's Day coming, if you are in a bad place, and you are entitled to be in a bad place if you have depression, anxiety, OCD, I'd love you to get some help, but it's your journey. If you're in a bad place, stay off social media. You don't need to see someone posting a photo of their bouquet and being like, "Hey, I have the best husband in the world. Look, he got me this $600 bouquet of flowers." You don't need to see that. So just stay off social media on Sunday and, you know, let the shit fall through your feed, and then you can deal with it afterwards. You don't need to see that someone's husband, you know, got the kids to all go to Color Me Mine and paint these like coordinating best mom ever mug plate, you know, vase set. Because chances are, if that's what happened, mom actually took the kids and got it done. You are allowed to take charge of Mother's Day, and you don't have to do it this year. You can do it next year, or in 5 years, or 10 years, and decide this is what I need to have a good Mother's Day. Like we decided as a family, with my parents years ago, before I even had kids, we don't do restaurants on Mother's Day because we the last time we did it was just such an overpriced shit show that we're like we have better uses of our time. We can go out for meals on different weekends and enjoy those meals when they happen. So take the pressure off yourself to have an amazing day. Maybe instead take a look at the year coming ahead and think of ways to make it feel like you're honored and treasured and on a pedestal throughout the year. Think about telling your husband, like, "This is the year that I want to get a pedicure once a month." Or, and just be like, "That's what I want to happen. That's what I want my gift." Or, "This is the year that I want more houseplants. So instead of buying me an expensive bouquet of flowers, I want to go to, you know, the nursery next week and just get, you know, spend $50 on houseplants." Like, really, you know, think about it. Like, what do you actually want? You don't have to let Hallmark decide that you want a card. I don't want a card. If I get a card, I want it to be one my kids make. I like the gifts that I get through preschool, but I don't need a Hallmark card. I don't need someone to spend like $6.99 on a card that like has like some, you know, dachshund wiggling its butt and singing a song. I don't need that shit. So you get to decide. Do you want flowers? I don't really actually want flowers. I like houseplants, and I got some tomatoes for the garden yesterday, and like that's more exciting to me than a bouquet of flowers that's just gonna like wilt and make a mess everywhere. So take the pressure off yourself to have an amazing day, but at the same time, I do hope you have a happy Mother's Day. But if you don't, you know, go ahead and vent. And if you have no one to vent to, you know, feel free to send me an email, courtney@ppdadventures.com. I love when you guys email. And if you just need to rant to someone, let me know. I have been there. I've had the Mother's Day where I felt like I was dying inside, and I couldn't even understand that, and I felt like disassociated from my body. And I mean, I didn't even tell you my whole first Mother's Day. I don't want to like completely bog you down, but it just like felt surreal. Like I remember my mom's best friend coming over to meet Pippa, and I remember thinking I should be excited about this. I really like my mom's best friend, and I've known her since I was in the second grade. And I remember feeling like I should feel excited. What's wrong with me? I don't. Like, people are holding my baby, and I should be getting up and moving around the room, and I'm just sitting here. And it's like it's tough. And so for those of you who are in the darkness, like, I get that. I've been there, and it does get better. And you might get to a place eventually where you're letting your husband go to Las Vegas for Mother's Day weekend because you know it doesn't really matter. It's just a day, and you can designate any day Mother's Day or Mother's Week or Mother's Year. Okay, that's enough of me ranting and venting. I do think the concept of Mother's Day is lovely, but I think it's been kind of overhyped and over-commercialized. And so I would just say, make it what you want it to be, not what social media thinks it should be, not what Target thinks it should be, not what, you know, your best friend thinks it should be. It should be what you want it to be. Okay. Postpartum depression, anxiety, OCD can be incredibly lonely and isolating, and Mother's Day can for some of you will certainly aggravate and heighten those feelings. You are not alone. You may think you are the only mother out there having a shitty Mother's Day, but you are not. And if you have a wonderful Mother's Day, that's great. You are entitled to have a wonderful Mother's Day. I love you, and I hope you have a great week. And I'll see you again in a few days because I'm about to do another interview. So I'll be back next week with an interview.